The greatest luxury adventures on earth. Abercrombie & Kent. Robot building supplies. Robots got it. On SEN, Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Thanks for being with me for Dwayne's World today. 1-300-736-736 is the number, the open line for Werribee Kia. And you can jump on it any time. If you call, we'll get you to air. That's what the show is all about. So jump on the phone and we will take your calls. 1-300-736-736 is the number. Terry Wallace is about to join me in a matter of seconds for Duncan Thompson Extensions. From concept to completion, duncanthompson.com.au. And by the way, Dwayne's World for Robot Building Supplies. Great to have Robot Building Supplies on board. Robots got it. And the greatest luxury adventures on earth at Abercrombie & Kent. If you check out their website, you'll see some fantastic safaris on offer. And if you want to join us on the Speckle text, by the way, it's 0433981116, the Speckle text number. But your calls, 1-300-736-736 with Terry Wallace and I, with footy about to start. Well, as of now, footy's going to start Thursday night. Welcome to you, Terry. Great to have you on the program again.
G'day, Dwayne. We can't see each other, but I promise you I am in the building. I'm just on a different floor, so such is the way that life is going at the moment.
Absolutely. A little bit of segregation between us all here. Terry, I'm actually looking forward to the footy. Now, the world could change so dramatically in the next hour that we don't get footy, but as it stands right now, it's nice to have footy to look forward to in the middle of this bleak world that every time you pick up the paper or pick up your social media, you're reading about another horror story. It's going to be kind of nice in Australia to think that we might be able to get a couple of games of footy away to break the tension.
Yeah, particularly I'm going to be like the rest of society in the fact that I'll be home on Thursday and Friday night watching the games from home. I'm working over the rest of the weekend, but doing crunch time on both days and a couple of games. But yeah, to sit in your lounge room and know that the footy's back, even though it's a different version of it with no crowd, you know, I can't wait to sort of see how it plays out. And, gee, I know the Friday night game in particular looks to be an absolute ripper. You would think that the Tigers will be able to be good enough to get over the Blues, particularly with a couple of the Carlton key players not there. But, yeah, I just can't wait to get it back.
What do you think the 17 game fixture is going to do to the way we look at teams and the way we what it opens up? What do you think it'll change? What's going to be the positives out of it? Do you think the 17 game fixture, even if it is spread over, you know, 25 weeks, maybe even 20, even 30 weeks, we don't know. It could actually be just spread over the 22 if we, you know, get lucky. But what do you think it's going to change?
Well, first up, I think there's a lot of people out there that have liked the idea of having a 17-round competition where you only play each other once and, you know, that flips around the following year. Not suggesting that that will be the case the following year, but you know, there's been a lot of advocates for that for a long period of time. I think it does a couple of things. I think my number one is it just keeps more sides alive deeper into the year, so therefore more exciting games. Therefore, you know, you still think that your team's a chance. And particularly, Dwayne, if they do bring in you know, a top 10 scenario where we, you know, we get the opportunity of having that week, wild card weekend, as it's known in America, or whatever we eventually call it, I just think that that will keep teams alive for longer. My only interest, or the interesting factor, is how engaged people will stay in the competition. If, let's say, we get 5 weeks in and then we have it could be anything up to a 6 to 12 week break at sort of some sort of stage through the year, will the engagement be just incredibly strong or as it is now for people with their interest peak to sort of get the footy back, or do we lose a few because it splits down the middle?
Yeah, the way I'm looking at it is if we do get a 7 or 8 week period where we can't have footy, where we don't have footy, I think that the Australian environment is going to be such a difficult environment with so many things shut down along with footy that maybe having footy on is going to be the least of our worries. I think there's going to be a period there. If we don't get footy, if we're not allowed to have footy, then, you know, we're not allowed to probably go to cafes and we're probably not allowed to go to restaurants and travel on planes and go from state to state. That's the way I mean, if we don't have footy, Terry, it means that the state of Australia society is going to be so hard hit. So it's going to be, it's not going to be like we're just walking the streets like we are now and we're not allowed footy. That's the way I'm seeing it. So I'm kind of worried about not having footy because I'm worried about what the overall environment's going to be in that period. Now, you know, that might not be the case, obviously, but the players themselves will have to keep training and clubs will have to keep getting together, I presume. Although if the state goes into lockdown during those periods of time and we get a situation like it is in parts of, you know, other countries, like in America right now, where you can't gather in groups of more than 10, teams won't even be able to train together, Terry.
And think of the other dynamic as well. They won't be able to train together. They'd be training, you know, maybe in smaller groups or, only individual training at times. But there's so many fascinations with this. We've seen clubs who, after four or five games, have been under real pressure. I mean, last year it was Carlton Footy Club was one of those that was under enormous pressure at that stage. So you imagine being under the spotlight, but then all of a sudden not having a game for 5 or 6 weeks. So, I mean, even that dynamic will be completely different to anything that we've ever had. And as a coach, you know, I knew in my last year, 4 weeks in, we were 0-4, and I knew my role in the club was really going to be up for speculation over the next 6 or 7 weeks. Maybe for a coach, it might be a good thing to have a little bit of a spell in the middle of it.
The other thing that might happen, and this is, you know, we're talking hypotheticals here, but if we are in lockdown for 4, 5, 6, 7 weeks, and we can't have football, then if we do get football back, I presume it's going to be in an environment where we're safe enough to have crowds back at the football. So if we're looking at the last 10 weeks or 12 weeks of the season with crowds back, then that's, I think, going to allow people to have something really tangible to look forward to, the opportunity to go back to the footy again and be part of that whole footy environment if we are lucky enough to get that, whether it be in, you know, August or September or whenever it might be, to think that the darkness might break and we can have crowds back, could be something exciting to look forward to.
No doubt. I think when the normality arrives back, I think the support that will come from the general public and the footy-loving public will be enormous. Once the threat is over and, the gates are open, but you are safe to come back, because there's always that little bit of hesitancy in some people's minds. But once we truly know that we're through it all, I think that the footy public will be fantastic in the way that they'll support the game.
So do you think it's going to help teams, perhaps, say we have 17 games spread over 25 weeks, but we do have a situation where we're playing, you know, 5 games in 3.5 weeks. Do you think it's going to help the young list? Do you think it's going to help older players like Gary Ablett Jr. get a good 17 games away or 15 good games away and be fresh for finals? How do you think it's going to affect the players themselves? And do you think the younger players are going to be helped, given they sometimes struggle to get, you know, 25 weeks of good footy as a 19-year-old?
Look, it's the great unknown. We really don't know. I would think that the 17 games would certainly, you know, assist the older players, but I don't think the clump of games would assist the older players. You would know yourself, Dwayne, once you were sort of starting to get that rising 30, you needed the rest in your body to be able to sort of come up. I can remember going to the Bicentennial Carnival many, many years ago and playing, you know, 3 games in a week, and just how difficult that was to actually be able to sort of manoeuvre your way through that. I was an ageing player at that stage, where some of the kids, they just handled it, you know, reasonably well. So, it is a great unknown. And how much do you flip your sides around, I think, is another thing. Do you, are we going to see that they get more like sort of the quick turnarounds on Anzac Day, where there's been times where, you know, clubs have made 5 or 6 changes just to keep a freshness about the side. So, you know, all those sort of things are going to be really interesting to see. And every club will have a different thought on it and a different dynamic. And a lot of them would be bunkered down and trying to work through how that will look for themselves. I mean, clearly they'll want that new draw to come out so that it's more definitive for them. But look, there's so many things that I'm wondering. I mean, you know, are we going to be playing on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday night over the next 2 to 3 weeks if we can get 2 to 3 weeks footy in, will it be an every night affair? I have no idea still.
I reckon we are, and the reason I say that is because I'll play a little bit of Eddie Maguire on the program earlier. He's part of this cabinet of, you know, wise heads to get together to help the AFL navigate their way through it. And he was suggesting that we could get a situation where two teams fly to Perth, and those two teams, the two Victorian teams that fly to Perth on a chartered flight, so in isolation with themselves, no general public on the plane, they fly to Perth. They both play the West Coast and Fremantle while they're over there, and then they both fly back together. So if he is thinking that, and he's a part of a cabinet of people that may advise the AFL that that's the way to go, there's every chance that that will happen. For those people who didn't hear, Eddie Maguire, who is meeting with this cabinet of people today and tomorrow, which includes Jeff Kennett, Andrew Pridham, three members of the commission, Paul Bassett, Robin Bishop, and Richard Goyder, and Peter Gordon, of course, from the Dogs. Here's what Eddie Maguire, and Gil McLaughlin's going to be part of it as well. Here's Eddie Maguire on the program earlier.
I think that that's something that would be... That I know it's been looked at. Yeah, absolutely. It's on the table. And you know, that's what we have to look at doing. But again, Dwayne, you know, some of the things we're looking at, you know, and this is just me, these are my ideas, but, you know, for example, let's, you know, I'll give you an example. Let's say Collingwood and St Kilda go to Perth to play West Coast and Fremantle. We play Thursday night, West Coast versus Collingwood and Fremantle versus St Kilda. And on Tuesday night, we play Collingwood, St Kilda over there, because it doesn't matter what we play over there, it's a neutral ground. And we play West Coast and Fremantle. And then the following Sunday, if that's a 5 or 6 day break, whatever it is, we play the other game there. And you get three of them done, which means you only need one flight to go over and one flight to come back.
So what do you make of that, Terry? Sounds like it's a possibility.
It sounds like it's a strong possibility that that will be the way that they go. And I think one thing that the AFL are trying to do is sort of say, as we were speaking before about the hardships that a lot of people are going to be going through, that if they can at least come home of a night time, whether they're working, whether they're not working, whether they're locked down, but there's footy on virtually each night, at least, you know, they get some sort of opportunity to be able to do what they love doing when things are fairly difficult. So I think that the AFL, one, want to jam as much in as what they possibly can before the outbreaks get too bad. But two, I think that that's trying to give something back to the community as well.
Terry Wallace is with me. Head to your calls after the break. 1-300-736-736. What do you make of Eddie's proposal that he's going to throw to that cabinet, and is probably throwing to them now, given that he raised it on this program earlier today as something he was going to raise with Gil McLaughlin and the rest of the members of that cabinet, to have that kind of Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday situation where two teams fly to Perth and play on those slots, in those slots. 1-300-736-736. Take your calls. Terry Wallace is also going to do something radical after the break. And given footy is, at the moment, going ahead in round one in a couple of days, we'll get Terry's tips before we say goodbye to him. Stick around. You at Dwayne's World. Terry Wallace with us for Duncan Thompson Extensions, from concept to completion. DuncanThompson.com.au. We're passionate about quality workmanship and design. Great to have Terry in the house. And Terry, let's have a look at the games one by one. Carlton, any chance of getting close to Richmond at all?
I would have liked to see Carlton if they had McKay, Curno and Betts available there. The crowd pleasers there, the scorers in the side. So I just think from a scoring point of view, it's just hard to see how they're going to be able to compete with the Tigers, who we know have got virtually a full squad. The Hooley news today that he's gone down with an injury, but other than that, a full squad for the Tigers. So, look, I'm thinking that Richmond are ready to roll it out and probably get themselves a result first up.
And McKay's 3 or 4 weeks away. Caleb Marchbank ruled out of this week with bone bruising in his knee. Eddie Betts out for 3 or 4 weeks. Lockie Plowman still unavailable. And, you know, with Charlie Curnow's gone for a while. So it's not a great Carlton team either by the looks of the way it's going to be. In fact, Lockie Plowman will be available, we're told. So it's not the Carlton team right now, the way it looks, is certainly nowhere near its best.
No, particularly in that front half. I mean, the two major key tall forwards that I think that most Carlton supporters have just over the last 12 to 18 months have just been waiting for them to grow and blossom are, you know, obviously Curnow and McKay. Now, both of them not there. And then the excitement of Eddie coming back to the club. What's he going to be able to do? A point to prove from a guy, you know, who's had a pretty tough last couple of seasons. They would have been having a lot of hope on Eddie as well. So those three missing from the front half. And look, they're playing as professional and outfit as what goes around with the Tigers.
But you mentioned Friday night could be a lot closer. In fact, Friday night's the harder one to tip. The Bulldogs and Collingwood, I actually saw Taylor Adams running the tan earlier today. He looked pretty fit. So Collingwood's going to have a pretty good team in. Pendlebury's available. So, you know, it's going to be a ripper because I was really impressed, as you were, with the Bulldogs over the preseason.
Yeah, I look at, they've been almost the it side, haven't they? Well, you know, now they've got to put it on the board. It's a home game for them, so they'll want to try to get a result in this one. I'm actually sticking with Collingwood. I mean, they've been an inch away the last couple of seasons from being able to, you know, either win a grand final or go to another grand final. So Bulldogs have still got to prove that. I think that they've got the capability of doing so, but it's still got to be proved. So I'm sticking with the tried and true with Collingwood. Obviously, Treloar not there is a bit of a disappointment from their point of view, but I'm going with the Maggies just to get a result. No Norton will be in that Bulldog outfit. So Collingwood for me, but watching this game with a lot of interest because I think both of them could potentially have exciting years.
Essendon get the job done at home against Fremantle, surely?
I think so. I think Freo are going to do it fairly tough for the year. They're pretty inexperienced. They rely so heavily on Walters and Fife to get the job done. Over the pre-season, a few of their recruits were doing a pretty good job. So, we'll watch a few of those with interest. But I've been pleased with Essendon. I think that Essendon have shown that they've really changed up their style of play. It looks like everyone's on the same page. I've said time and time again, I haven't always been able to say that about the Bombers, but they've had, a pretty good pre-season and should be ready and raring to go at home.
And if I know there's no home ground advantage because they don't have 50,000 of their fans roaring the Adelaide Crows, but it's still their home. They don't have to get in a plane, whereas Sydney do have to get in a plane to go and play at the Adelaide Oval. If this was in Sydney, I'd probably tip Sydney, but at the Adelaide Oval, I'm tipping Adelaide. How are you going with that one?
Yeah, I'm going Adelaide as well. No Buddy. We don't expect him to play in that first game. They've sort of said that most likely round two for him. We haven't seen Reid on the track. They've had a really makeshift forward line, the Sydney Swans. So it's been a bit of a battle for them just to get their right blokes on the park over the summer. So to expect that to flip around very, very quickly is difficult. I'm expecting it to be a pretty tough year for both of these sides. So, on that point of view, you go the home side. But once again, as you said, we don't know how that dynamic plays out now either.
Are you going with the home side in the Giants v Cats game?
Yeah, with a fair bit of confidence. I think that GWS will get it done. I think that they've been one of the best pre-season sides. We know it's only pre-season, but a point to prove after a grand final last year. Been a little bit disappointed with what Geelong have been able to stump up. We know Chris Scott sort of said, you won't know us come round one. Well, he got these opportunities to show us that that's the case. Hard place to win. Bombers went up to GWS in their first game last year and got the ears scrubbed off them. So I'm expecting GWS to get the result there.
And are you going for the home team in the Gold Coast Port game?
I am. So that's probably the one that's unusual. The reigning wooden spooner in the Gold Coast. I think they've shown enough over that period of time to sort of say that they're ready for a reasonable showing. They are playing a side that is up and running as well in Port Adelaide. And we know Port Adelaide have high inside 50s. They do most things right. Charlie Dixon just becomes such an important player for them if he can get his game up and going. But I just like what the pressure that the Gold Coast have shown in their games. And I think from an early point of the year, what they've shown in the pre-season can sustain itself, but again, it's very, very early days, and how much you take into pre-season practice matches is your own thoughts.
And interestingly enough, the pre-season has swayed me towards St Kilda to beat North Melbourne in the Sunday game. So we sometimes look at the pre-season and say, well, don't believe any of it, but I kind of believe what I've seen with the Saints.
I'm a bit the same. I must say that if I was going a month back, I probably would have been the other way around, because I just thought the connection with St Kilda with so many changes might have just taken them, you know, 3, 4, 5 weeks to sort of get themselves playing their best footy. But they look pretty sound about the way they're going about it at the moment. So for me, I'm going St Kilda. Ben Brown out of the North Melbourne lineup as well. He hurts them a little bit, and you know, whether he plays, whether he doesn't play, I know a week ago he was sort of saying 50-50. Gee, it's a real risk when you're talking about calf injuries to get somebody to, you know, play in that first one. So St Kilda just a little bit more settled in their look to me.
Hawthorn and the Brisbane Lions, a Hawthorn home game at the MCG. I'll play you a little bit of Greg Swan saying that they haven't got their flight sorted just yet. They're waiting for the AFL to work out the logistics of travel and whether a private Virgin charter might be an option for this game. Here's Greg Swan, the CEO of the Lions.
Yeah, and I think the AFL have done a fair bit of work on that. And I think with the Virgin, I know even, there's been talk about, you know, segregating the players, having, you know, designated area in the airport and perhaps even getting on a bus sort of straight off the plane, so you're not walking through with, you know, general population and a whole lot of stuff like that, having a whole floor at a hotel, so you're limiting your interaction with the general public. And I know that's all being worked on. I haven't seen the final details, but I think something along those lines will happen for all those teams that are travelling interstate.
So charter flight is still on the agenda as to whether they can get it refined quickly enough to be this weekend. But the way it stands right now, Brisbane's coming to the G to play Hawthorn, and it'll be an echoey G.
Well, let's hope they are, Dwayne. We're hoping that all these games are that actually do go ahead. So let's hope that that's the case. From my point of view, I just trust in what I've seen of Brisbane last year. I think that they should be further developed. You know, players like Cam Rayner should be able to sort of take a step up. Lions, guys like that. I just think that they are in a pretty good position at the moment. Hawthorn, well, they had a good finish to last year, didn't they? They haven't been super impressive. We got a couple of SMSs sort of saying, come on, get a grip on pre-season. But, I mean, that's all we can go on. We can only take what happened at the end of last year, what our belief is about the development of the group, what they added to the group over the time, and what we're seeing with our own eyes over pre-season. Now, it doesn't always play out that way, but I just think that Brisbane are a sharp enough team that they can come to the G and get a result. They lost those last two finals, but I just think, and we know that they've been able to do it to Hawthorn before, they really run the Hawks off their legs. To me, Hawthorn have to be in front of them by half-time if they're going to win.
And the last one on Sunday, West Coast at home to Melbourne.
I think West Coast. I mean, have you picked the West Coast?
I have, to win the flag.
I thought I'd heard the promo of you selecting them. They're going to be right up there. They're going to be very, very difficult to beat over in Perth. Melbourne, a point to prove after last year. They did go over there. I know they got a thumping in that prelim final, but they actually made the finals by going to Perth a couple of seasons ago and getting a result. So a lot of their players will go over there sort of saying, we've done it before. There's no reason why we can't do it again. But I think it's a big, big bite off Nat Nui back, Kelly into the lineup. I think that'll be enough for West Coast to get a result.
Terry Wallace is with me. Sam Edmund is about to join me with the latest as to whether the AFL is going to give it the final tick, the rubber stamp, it's going ahead round one, or whether there is a spanner in the works. So looking forward to Sam joining us in a matter of seconds. But before Terry leaves, we need to get a little bit of this.
He at 16, listen to the crowd.
They're going to go nuts when he hits this thing.
Yeah! Lambert with a setup kick for Revolt! This is it!
Oh, wow! In your life have you seen anything like that?
Bontempelli, the future star, the present star, steady!
Oh! Terry, your footy golf, AFLW's round, what did you make of it?
Yeah, we're still going to give a bit of love to the AFLW. We're going around playing under locked arenas, but certainly some interesting games. Geelong going back to the Friday night, a double bogey at home against the North Melbourne Footy Club, who were going along nicely with another eagle. Brisbane, a double bogey, a birdie for Collingwood, who are back playing some good footy in a very one-sided game against St Kilda and Eagle just because of the margin, and Richmond a triple bogey. The Richmond girls are really struggling at the moment. One of the more important games of the round, I thought, that had major significance. Melbourne a double bogey because of the importance of the game to them, and Carlton and Eagle equally because of the importance of that victory to them. The Bulldogs are par. I thought they were pretty good against Fremantle, who got a birdie. That game, to me, would have got an albatross for the way that the game was played. Well done to both sides. I thought it was the best game of AFLW I've seen so far. Adelaide a bogey, GWS a birdie for their performance, and the West Coast Eagles a double bogey, while the Gold Coast back on the winner's list with an eagle. And just very quickly, Dwayne, the unders mark at the moment, North and Carlton are both six under. Fremantle, because they do it on expectation, they haven't lost, so they've done a fantastic job, but they're five under because at times, you know, I've backed them in to be able to win the games that they're there on. They're four under for Collingwood, who have launched themselves back in the last couple of weeks. Three under for St Kilda. That's because the expectation's been fairly low on them and they've been able to compete at a reasonable level in their first year. Two under for Melbourne, one under Brisbane, GWS, Giants and the Gold Coast. Evens Geelong, four sides in the overs column, four over Adelaide, six over the Bulldogs, eight over the West Coast Eagles and 11 over the Tigers.
Love your work, Terry. Always great having a chat to you. We'll talk again next week. Thanks for your time.
Good on you, Dwayne.
Terry Wallace for Cleanaway. Clean up your disposal efficiency with Cleanaway. We'll take a break. Just before, Sam Edmund is going to join me for Cleanaway, up your disposal efficiency with Cleanaway after a little break. Just before the break, I want to play you something from Eddie McGuire earlier on. You know, I was pretty confident that Thursday night was going to happen. Here's Eddie on his confidence level before Sam Edmund joins me.
Now, look, I was probably more confident when I went to bed last night. As I said, the world's changed again today. So they'll be decisions that will be made. But I'm waiting on information to come. I'm making that just from a media practitioner and reading the play on how these things change. But, yeah, it's certainly a little bit more clouded.